Hello, welcome to Q&R here on Wednesday. You may notice it may look a little different, better, hopefully, but maybe not.
Where did you get that?
I don't know so much about that.
Well, Megan's not here, so it can't be better. It has to be worse. But we're trying to prove today that there's no relationship between the amount of hair you have and how wise you are. So you can make your own decision once that's over. But this summer we're doing different things, and this week we, because we're the only ones here, chose to talk about a ministry of Broadway, Pathway, and Lewis is going to give us a little background on how that got started.
13 years ago, Larry Sensing and his wife Sally started what was then Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery was a 12-step program that originated out of Saddleback Church in California. And it was very regimented, and it was an amazing start to where that got us to where we are today. It was geared more towards folks that had addictions to alcohol and drugs, but it very quickly evolved into not just addictions, but problems with anger, problems with pornography, problems with codependency. And a lot of that came about because of the way that Larry and Sally led us and led us down the road with Celebrate Recovery. And it was a great way for us to start, and it really kind of opened up a whole new world of healing and ministry here at Broadway. And I think, and then it evolved, as most great things do, especially in ministry, it evolved into the place where we are now that has become more and more us, if that makes any sense. Yeah. It's become more...
Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
It's become more of a reflection of who we are as a congregation and as a community in general. Right. And that progressed until 2014... Yeah. Or 2013, when you came on staff.
Right.
We started to evolve even more, and that's when Wendell started writing the curriculum that we use now. We don't use Celebrate Recovery materials anymore, and so I'm going to let... Why don't you tell them about where we got from there?
We actually started writing a lot of our own material prior to me taking the position. When Larry retired, then I took the job, but the material was extremely good to start the program, which I think the word program is important. We've changed from a program to a ministry to a family. That's kind of been the way we've operated. But the original material with all the leadership guides and the structure of the program and everything was almost military-like. I mean, you had a badge and you had a label and you had functions you had to do, and every Sunday night involved very regimented things that had to happen. But the material was, for lack of a better term, the material was very religious in terms of, even if you're going to meet Jesus, you have to jump through these hoops and say this prayer, and it's very formulaic and very... And increasingly, we were like, this is really more about a relationship than it is about religious hoops and keeping rules and operating within a boundary. So the literature that we started to write became much more relational and much more Wesleyan, you know, in nature. And then we started branching out. We did a study on codependency. We did a study on motivation, why we do what we do. We did, we've done a lot of different studies now. But eventually it almost became an ethical issue that we're using the CR label and we're not CR anymore. So we decided we needed to break with them, and then we just came up with our own brand, which was Pathway, which is actually in the Serenity Prayer. Right. Accepting hardship as the pathway to peace. Yeah. So,
which is one of the things that made the trek from day one of Celebrate Recovery all the way to this Sunday.
Oh, yeah, we do it every week.
That's how we end every week.
Yeah. By the way, those of you who are listening, who if you ever come to Pathway for the first time and we come to the close, do not stand up in front of the room because your back will be to the screen and you won't know the Serenity Prayer, and so you'll have to turn around and look. So newcomers stand in the back and so they can see the screen.
Some of you who have been coming for years and still don't know it need to stand in the back. That's me. I don't remember it.
What are you trying to say?
Nothing.
He's old.
Right.
Senility.
Yeah. I think that has been kind of the power of it, is keeping those things that were really helping people find healing, and then also adding to it or being willing to adjust the things that maybe not weren't obstacles, but they weren't really facilitating those relationships and that accountability and authenticity that we found were the secrets.
Yeah,
secrets to how it worked.
Yeah, we have learned on the fly.
Yeah,
and the pathway that we are now is not the pathway we were a year ago, and it certainly is not the pathway we'll be a year from now.
Right.
Instead of us having a set program, which we use that word for CR, and became a ministry, and now we're more like a family, every week is geared to the group that's there that week. We may have some general plans, but you gear it to that week. And so if you start having an influx of a certain kind of people, the flavor of the group kind of morphs that way. And then if they find what they need and move on, and somebody else, another group of people come in. Mm-hmm. So it kind of morphs and shifts, and we have no set starting time. We have a general time, but I mean, and we don't have a set closing time. We have kind of an agenda every Sunday night, but if somebody needs to share at any point, they can share. If somebody, during the lesson, they want to ask a question, they just ask it.
Right. And part of that change has been recently talking more about healing and less about recovery.
Yes, good,
because recovery
good.
Is kind of we kind of think of, like Lewis was talking about early on, it kind of the focus was on people who had addictions or who were dealing with those kinds of things. But it's become very different from that now.
Yes. We're a healing for human hurts.
Right.
That's all there is to it. If you are a human, you've been hurt. If you say you're not, you need to come to Pathway because we deal with denial. But we've all been hurt. We've all been wounded. None of our caregivers early on were perfect. None of us are perfect caregivers raising our kids, and so it causes wounds, and it causes we draw assumptions and expectations for life, and they're not right. We were fed half truths, and not that our parents meant to lie to us, but we all operate the best we can as parents, but we all fail grievously.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
right. And then we all suffer, or we deal with the consequences of that.
Yeah.
In our own lives, and
how
we pass that on, and how we relate to people.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that is really powerful is the authenticity that you find at Pathway, people being honest about their struggles. And to be honest, that can be kind of scary mm-hmm. to new people because we're not used to that. Unfortunately, we don't see that very often.
Yeah.
And so I think even for myself, sometimes early on especially, it was like, you know, well, they're going to expect me to get up and tell all my secrets, and I'm not ready to do that yet. That's part of the healing, is we give people a safe place and we give them the time and the space to do that when they're ready.
Because
we do believe it's powerful and it's healing to find a place and a person that you can share your secrets with. That is part of what is unique or is the way God uses it for healing. But we don't force that or put people in a place where they feel pressured to do that.
Yeah.
I think it's important, too, to say that they know that it's a safe place because over the years it has been structured in such a way that we all want to hear from other folks in our Pathway family.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We want to hear from them. We want to hear their stories. We know, we've learned from experience, personal experience, that telling our story in Pathway or with another person, one other person, is very powerful.
Right.
It's freeing, mm-hmm. But that we also know that it's, you know, some of our stories are not stories that necessarily need to get out into the public.
Right.
Because as a rule, the public is not necessarily ready for what
not
for
a safe
our
place.
Stories.
Right.
You know, they're not necessarily ready for what we want for us. And I think some of our folks have even found out that the honesty that we live in Pathway has alienated them at times, because right. we've become very honest people. And sometimes our honesty is a little uncomfortable for other folks. But what I think I was trying to say was, we all know that in Pathway it's a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about what happens at Pathway.
Right.
I mean,
what's said here stays here.
Yeah. And that's exactly right. And in the midst of that, you become a family, because you begin
right.
to trust each other.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we know that we can talk about anything during Pathway,
right.
and that includes in the time leading up to
celebration.
The celebration,
yeah,
and you know, and afterwards, because we have time where we sit in the atrium and we eat together. It really is like a family.
Yeah.
It's structured like a family, because we get together and we eat. I'm Italian. Most of what we do in my family centers around the table, around food.
Yeah,
and so. We get together, we eat together.
Give them the times for that. So it's 5 to 6.
Oh, it's 5 to 6. We're out in the atrium here on the Melrose campus. We eat together. We sit around tables and get to know each other even better. It's a great time to meet new folks and for new folks to kind of just see what our family is like. Because I find that people are the most genuine and the most free when they're sitting around a table eating.
Yeah.
And so... we do that from 5 to 6, and then from 6 until 7:15, 7:30, gets a little fuzzy there towards the end. But we come in and we have our celebration time, and that's where we'll play some music.
Well, time out. We need to talk about that a little bit.
Well, go ahead. You lead the band. He also does a fair amount of the teaching as well, but we'll start with the band.
There are a number of people who come to Pathway who their initial visit was, we heard you had a good band, and we don't operate within the normal church circle of songs. We play the Beatles. We had one night where we just did Led Zeppelin. We've done Aerosmith. We've done Cheap Trick.
This week we got Stevie Wonder, Michael McDonald, and Stevie Ray Vaughan. So
So it's the idea is, and we have worship music in there as well, but the idea is to party in God's presence like your little kids do on the floor in the living room when mom and dad are sitting on the couch, and the kids feel safe to be totally the living room version of themselves. I can stand on my head, I can do cartwheels, I can, you know, do raspberries, I can do whatever I want, I can do other things.
That's exactly right.
I can be the living room version of myself because I feel safe and secure with mom and dad, and I actually have caught them smiling from time to time. So when we do our music, the idea is we're partying as God's little kids,
mm-hmm.
and God is smiling because his kids are happy.
Yeah.
And that atmosphere creates the rest of the celebration. People are ready to talk. People feel safe.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing too is, with a lot of times when we do the secular music, the next week when we're out in the atrium talking, I've heard several times, you know, I heard that song on the radio at work and it brought me back to what Wendell said, or what, you know, what whoever was hosting that night said.
Yeah.
And it's what we like to think of, what I like to think of as an echo of what happened on Sunday,
right.
where they get to hear it during the week,
right.
And so for me, that's one of the big reasons why I love the way that we get to play music.
And then a big part of what Pathway does too is the small groups
that
meet together during the week,
during the
which
week,
is a reinforcement of that, and the relationships that form out of that.
Yeah.
So the idea, the goal is, the hope is that everybody will have somebody, a partner, a healing partner,
somebody they
can talk to, who will help, answer questions, and if they can't answer questions, they can, at least give the person a safe place to work through things.
Yeah.
So that sense of community and relationship is a huge part of what happens there, which makes healing possible, I think.
The idea that some people may have of Pathway is that you come and you instantly are asked, well, tell me your story.
Right.
So not the case.
Right.
You could sit there quiet for years if you want. You don't have to say a word.
Right.
But in our case, Wayne and my case, we started in a group together years ago. And one of the steps in the 12 steps, which we use 8 steps instead of 12, but one of the steps is you tell your story to another human being. And so we used to play disc golf every week. And so one week it's like, well, can I tell you my story while we're playing disc golf? And we're best friends. And yet I was going to tell him my story. I was scared to death.
Yeah.
I mean, petrified. Yeah. I'm going to tell another human being my deepest, darkest secrets of my life. And yet, I did. It took 18 holes.
Yeah.
And when I was done, he just put his hand on my shoulder and said, well, it's nice to know Wendell's human. And I thought, whew, he's still my friend.
Well, you figure, we're older than the 40 or 35 years we look like. But we've been hiding these secrets for, 50 years.
And we have groups for denial. He's not been through that one.
But you had a secret that long. And it gets darker and darker in your own mind and in your own heart. It becomes bigger and bigger and worse and worse.
Yeah.
And so to drag that out after all those years, it was scary. Even if we were friends and I trusted you, I wasn't sure there was that much grace.
Well, 2 weeks later, he did the same thing, so that's what he's referring to. And he was just as scared, even though I had just shared mine with him.
Right.
But you remember the initial fear you had.
You
shared your story and... CR in Pathway, what, a year or so ago or whatever.
Yeah.
I remember the trepidation you had.
I did. And one of the things, too, is that there are, I don't even know, 5 of us that are pastors of some sort or another who, Wendell, you're the only one whose job it is to go to Pathway.
Yeah.
And, but we all...
Yeah,
have kind of come into this community, and but when I told my story, I was terrified the first time I told it. First time I really told it from start to finish was in one of the groups, and it took, and I didn't tell it start to finish in one session. It took
all
20 weeks of the group
to
kind of finally get it all out, and but once I did, I was a little better. But then moving into that night of Pathway where I told my story, it was, it's unbelievable though, how grace filled the folks are in Pathway on Sunday nights. A lot of times I think I keep coming back to this. We heard a quote at a conference that we went to, and a lot of times people just want to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the best things that the folks in Pathway do is listen.
Right.
And I have the quote. I wanted to have it here so I could remember it. But being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they're almost indistinguishable. You can't tell. People who love you listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And... That happens every night in Pathway.
Mm-hmm. And it's not about having answers. It's not to share your story so somebody can tell you what to do, how to get fixed.
Right.
It's just to be heard. The power of that. That's what, this mystery of grace, that grace works in being heard. Not because there's a bunch of people there who can tell you the next step you need to take, but just because you can be heard and receive grace.
Yeah,
I think that's hugely important to understand, is that you don't come to Pathway expecting to be fixed.
Right, that is big.
And nobody is there. People come initially sometimes thinking they have the answers, and you can see them trying to fix other people, and that's usually dispelled within about a week or two
yeah.
when they realize, whoa, I'm just as messed up as everybody else.
Yeah.
And so there's no fixing going on here.
Right.
There's no hovering. There's no mothering and fathering. And, you know,
right.
You just come and you be yourself, and it's in the act of sharing yourself. We have two core values. That's all. Two core values. Be real and be loved. That's it. Be the real living room version of yourself and then receive the love that's there for you. It's not be real and love. It's be real and be loved.
Right.
And those are the two. That's as complicated as it gets.
Yeah. And that's what I think it's because we believe that God shows up, that God is present, and that you give him a crack, he'll step in.
Yeah.
And so that being real, being authentic, is giving God the opportunity to show up and then trusting that he will. Not because we have the answers or we know exactly. And show up not to fix us,
mm-mm.
but to love us. That's mm-hmm. the other side of that. So that to
yeah.
remind us that we are loved. And there is a power in that that changes us. And then that changes the way we relate to other people. And those relationships are how grace extends and spreads beyond us. I think it's not,
yeah.
we don't have a program for that other than sharing your story and
yeah.
listening to others.
Yeah. It might be good just to, because people watching may be wondering about some of the details. We're a very diverse group. We have Republicans, Democrats, we have
black folks, we got white folks.
Yeah. We're a very diverse group, and we know that we're diverse. Republicans know who the Democrats are, and Democrats know who the Republicans are, and it doesn't seem to matter.
No.
Right.
It just doesn't matter, because that's not why we're there, to fix or change or convince each other. We're there to love on each other like family does. Over time, we've had a huge contingency from the biker community that came. Not so many anymore, but we've had that. Right now, we're really ministering to a lot of people who are coming out of being sex trafficked. Literally, they have been sold, bought and sold, and they've been rescued, and now they're coming and finding refuge mm-hmm. with us. Trying to think of some other... We have people who just struggle with panic attacks. We have a lot of people with depression issues. We have people struggling with grief. We have people struggling, recently divorced.
We still have folks with addictions. I mean,
oh, yeah.
We haven't gone away from that at all. We have people that are addicted to alcohol, people that are addicted to drugs, people that are addicted to pornography, people who are addicted to trying to fix other people.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we yeah. all got something
yeah.
that we bring to the table.
Yeah. And I think the part of the line was, well, this is for those people.
Right.
And what we've discovered is we are all those people.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
We're trying to dispel this idea that one addiction is worse than another.
Right.
That all
right.
of us need healing. All of us are broken.
Right.
And admitting that is kind of, you know, it's the first step.
Yeah.
We're admitting that we're powerless to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just on a practical note, I notice our time is getting short. On a practical note, if you want to plug in to Pathway, of course, you can always come on Sunday night. Like he said, it was 5 to 6. It's coffee and food fellowship. Very informal. 6 to 7-ish is our celebration time where we have music and either somebody tells a story or somebody teaches a lesson. Both these guys teach some. I teach a lot. But we have others as well who teach. And we always have a chance for people to share if they want.
It's
toward the end on
yeah.
Sunday night.
That's,
and that's pretty
powerful. That's been a big shift for us, too, I think, too.
Yes.
We went from, we still use tokens as a way to mark our time in working on our healing. But instead of having that be the kind of the end all,
right.
now it's celebrate where you are
yeah,
and what's happening.
More of an open mic.
Where you're struggling. We find that as well. Folks will come up and say, I'm really struggling with this right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Or I'm really struggling with this right now. And rather than feel like they have to wait until they've not been struggling with it for 30 days, they can hit it on the front end
yeah, right,
and make
right,
it.
Right.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
We literally are out of time, but let me talk about our midweek stuff. We don't right now, but we will in August. We always have midweek night groups. They're not always step groups, but they're small groups where you can come. We're also introducing a new group this year in as a growth group, just in the broader church, that's generated out of Pathway, right. Where people can get kind of a view of what Pathway might be like. We have a senior group that meets now. We have literature that literally has gone all over the world that was generated here. So just to let you know how you can plug into the small groups,
right.
Stay tuned. We're going to start our Pathway. Well, we're going to start the growth group and the Pathway group early in August. So.
And then the medical one, too.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have one. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Lewis and Joe Patterson, are going to be leading a group come this fall for families in medical distress. If you have any kind of medical distress in your family, cancer, onset of Alzheimer's, a special needs child, an accident that's left somebody a paraplegic, whatever, we're going to have a group for that too. The literature's already written, already ready to go with that.
And that's going to start in August as well.
Right, right, right. So.
All right, well, we appreciate you being with us, and next Wednesday, Megan will be back, unless by popular acclaim, you choose me to take her place.
I think she's safe.
Yeah, I think Megan's job is safe.
But we appreciate you being here, and we'll see you next Wednesday at noon. Thank you.